You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Thursday evening's action in Leopardstown, a 7-race card to look forward to there. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, mate. Very well indeed.
Good man. What do you make of Leopardstown this evening?
Yeah, not many runners, and we've also got quite a few non-runners on top of races where which have cut up anyway. So, yeah, for once, not, you know, massively competitive handicaps, albeit some of them look a little bit tricky. And we've got the eagerly awaited seasonal reappearance of My Titania as well in the listed race. One would have thought that maybe John Oxmire might have gone to Royal Ascot with her. Of course, she was fourth in the coronation last year, but he's keeping her on a little bit more of a lower profile so far this season.
Yeah. Do you think that's because he's had a bit of a quiet time of things of late, John Ox, and he's just trying to make sure that she gets a win under her belt?
I think so, yeah. And he's probably not going to do what he did last year and pitch her in the deep end and probably build her confidence back up again. Maybe she's had one or two issues. The fact that she only run twice last year as well suggests that. Yeah, she's clearly the star of the show tonight.
Yeah, we'll move on to that in due course. The 6 o'clock is the first race, though. And we start here with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Fillies Maiden. It's over 7 furlongs and special focus heads to the market at 13-8. 7-4 for Minding, 3-1 for Tanaza. 10s for Spartans Queen and 14s or bigger for the others. Who would you side with in the opener, Andy?
Well, it's a tricky one, really, because obviously we've only got one horse who's got any form, and that's Special Focus. She's clearly very well experienced, and she should, in theory, put that to good use in here. But at the same time, it wouldn't take anything out of the ordinary to turn her over, and we have, of course, got two or three newcomers from powerful stables likely to be better than average, i.e. Minding. We've also got Spartans Queen in there as well, and of course, Tanaza as well from the Dermot Weld stable. And of course, Jessica Harrington's not averse to having 2-year-old winners as well. So this is quite a tricky one for punters. I can only really deal with Special Focus and tell you what she's done so far. She made an encouraging debut behind a nice horse of Kevin Prendergast called Ben Behean in a fast time at Navan. And to be fair, she's done not a great deal wrong in two subsequent races, in a maiden at Nace, when the ground might have been a little bit too soft for her. But then she put in her best performance the other day when chasing home Richard Hannan's Irish Raider, Great Page, in a listed race at Nace. That race contained plenty of in-form two-year-olds. She was slightly advantaged by racing towards the stand side rail coming down the middle of the track. I think she was probably not quite as good as the official results suggested. Those that raced on the far side rail were basically running in quicksand. So that's slightly a backward step for her, but you know, the blinkers seem to work. I'd imagine a step up in trip would suit, being by Intense Focus. So yeah, she sets a reasonably good standard, and if experience is the key here, she might well be good enough, because hey, it's not a great betting race for me at the moment. You don't really know the standard of the others, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was one lurking in there that maybe gives her plenty to think about.
Okay, Special Focus to make her experience count in the opener. Then the 6:30 is the second race, and this is an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Maiden for colts and geldings. It's over 7 furlongs, and Port Douglas is the 5-4 market leader. 3-1 for Sunglider. Fisherman's Blues is sixes into fours. It's 9-2 for Touch of Frost, and 16-1 are bigger prices for the others. Just starting with the market leader here, Andy, Port Douglas. It'd be interesting if money comes for that one, being an O'Brien newcomer. It's a race that he's used to. Run decent enough horses in the past. If you look at last year's renewal, he had Highland Reel in it. So do you think Port Douglas will be up to winning this?
Well, he tends to, as you say, run some of his best horses here at Leopardstown. A lot of his classic contenders for the rest of the year seem to start at this particular venue. So it's significant that Port Douglas does begin his career around this stiff track. And he's been put in, obviously, very tentatively at 5-4. We've then got Sunglider, representing Dermot Weld, a cart by Hay Chaparral. Of course, he took this race last year with Tomberlane. So, obviously, those are the main two points of reference in the market. But I quite like one with experience here. to shake up the front two in the market, and that is Fisherman's Blues, who's had a couple of runs. First of all, beyond mimicking at Curra over in what turned out to be an inadequate 5 furlong trip. He then ran in a very hot race at the Curra. Now, that contest is working out incredibly well. It went the way of Air Force Blue, who I presume goes to the Coventry next week and represents Ballydoyle. But second and third have both won since Rockaway Valley, who won in scintillating fashion at the Curra on Sunday. And Tonkinese also won as well next time out. So I do think this race is beginning to suggest that we need to follow the form quite stringently. The time figure of the race is good. And if he runs up to that level, or maybe even improves here, I think it'll take a decent performance by something first time out to turn over Fisherman's Blues. But would have been a bit of money for him, William Hill into fours. And I could see him going off even shorter than that. So Fisherman's Blues, one that's already been missed by the most bookmakers this morning, certainly deserves to be a major consideration in that 6:30.
Okay, Fisherman's Blues for Andy in the 6:30. The 7 o'clock is the third race. This is an apprentice handicap. It's over a mile, and the market headed this morning by Knights Templar, who's 3-1. It's 4-1 for Octavia. Mezzogiorno is 9-2 with Whip Up a Frenzy. 10-1 for Champagne or Water, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who'd you like in there, Andy?
Yeah, nasty little race, this 4 or 5 that can be fancied, as the market suggests. We've got Mezzogiorno in there, who, of course, ran a really good race here the other day, setting soft fractions from the front. He kicked on round in the home turn. He looked like he got the race in safe keeping, only to be run down by Beat the Ballot. Whether he'll have the luxury of dictating a slow tempo today is very much open to question. We've got Knights Templar comes here hot off the back of a smooth win the other night down in Roscommon. He did all his best work at the end of the night, and he has won at this track as well over a mile, so he's got to be a major contender. And we've got Octavia as well, who many podcasters will know. Throughout the winter, I've been suggesting that she's a winner waiting to happen. She's just a little bit of a tricky ride, but if any man can pull it off, it's going to be this in-form apprentice, Jack Kennedy. Brushing all those three aside, I'm actually going to go with Whip Up a Frenzy here, who ran an absolute brilliant race of the day down in Nace. Coming off the back of strong fractions, he stayed on very strongly in the latter stages, only to be touched off by the in-form Lily's Rainbow. Sacrificial, who was on the back of a hat-trick, was back in third. But the time figure of that race was such that I do think that race is worth following. This is the first horse to come out of the race, and at 9-2 with William Hill, I think he represents decent each-way value.
We're into listed company next for the 7:30. This is the Glencairn Stakes. It's over a mile, and it's the eagerly anticipated reappearance of My Titania, who's 11-8 at the top of the betting. It's 5-2 for War Envoy, 5-1 for Brendan Bracken, 11-2 for Captain Joy, and Tennessee Wildcat is the 12-1 outsider. We'll start with a favourite, Andy, because she's of obvious interest. Apparently, she's done well over the winter, although last season on her reappearance, she was a bit free. So is that a concern here?
It is a little bit, isn't it? Obviously, she's a very classy filly, as we all know. She's running Group 1 company to a very high standard. Fourth, first time up last season behind Rosina in the Coronation Stakes, a race which worked out incredibly well subsequently. Her time figures are very good. She ran another blinder in a Group 2 at the Curra on her last appearance. But the fact that she has been off for the best part of a year does leave you with a little bit of a question mark lingering at the back of your mind if you are prepared to take a short price. But it hasn't stopped punters this morning. That 11-8 with William Hill, I think, is going to go very quickly as I am doing this podcast. Already into even money, 11-10 with many firms, suggesting that John Ox has got her where he wants her. And in all fairness, she's probably got one of her easiest tasks to date, and that's no disrespect to her four rivals. War Envoy obviously has been running in Group 1 company this year. He's been trying his hand in classics. He ran in the Craven and the French 2000 Guinness French Derby. This is more easy, but he hasn't been shown a great deal. You've got Brendan Bracken, who comes here off a querying run the other day at the Curra. And Captain Joy's all his best forms at Dundalk and on an all-weather surface. He's actually 0-15 on the turf. So suggest to me that if there is going to be a major danger to My Titania, it might well come from Tennessee Wildcat. Now, I know he's got quite a bit to prove on the figures. He only rated 97, but he's a horse who has often run very fast times. He likes quick ground, and he ran a blinder under top weight the other day in a very hot handicap at the Curra. I'm a big advocate of horses that run well in strong run handicaps when they either drop back into maiden company, for instance, or even listed in group company, because they've got that real good grounding. So I suggest, if you didn't want to take a short price about My Titania, you might want to look towards the without the favourite market and take a chance at Tennessee Wildcat outruns his odds.
have a look at the pro race card later on then for the 7:30. The 8 o'clock is the fifth race on the card. This is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-olds rated 47 to 70. And Pat Harkin heads the market at 5 to 1. It's 6 to 1 for Lake Champlain. It's 7s for Best Kept Secret. Liffey View is 8s, 10s for Social Climber, and 11 to 1 are bigger prices for the others. One of the more open races of the evening. Andy, who would you side with in there?
Yeah, I want to go with Liffey View here. Horse has just won the one race in 13 starts and is actually 0 from 10 on the turf, but her best run came on the green stuff the other day at the Curragh in a very hot handicap, which had plenty of in-form horses were in there. It was a good three-year-old handicap, and it went the way of Duke of Valentinos, who followed up his previous victory here over the course and distance, once again posting a good number. And Liffey View, I thought, ran an exceptionally good race, considering he was a 33-to-1 shot. He was considered to have not much hope at all, but she managed to run her best-ever race for me on the figures. And I've repeated that in what looks a particularly modest race for Leopardstown standards. Surely must give her an excellent chance of at least giving us a run for our money and hitting the frame. She's around about an 8-7-1 chance this morning, actually 8-1 with William Hill. And that would seem reasonable enough each way, Vi. I think Lake Champlain will also go well. He caught the eye finishing off his race very strongly from the back of the field the other day at Navan and was best of the six horses at Rear Post here tonight. So I certainly see him running another good race for the informed Jessica Harrington. But I'll go with Liffey View. I think 8-1 is a decent price if she can run up to that level she did the other day at the Curragh.
Liffey View for Andy then in the 8 o'clock. The 8:30 is the sixth race on the card. This is an Irish Stalling Farms EBF Fillies handicap. It's over a mile and a quarter, and Witty Repartee is the 13-8 market leader. 11-4 for Sundoku. Glassachura is 7-2. 11-2 for Granta, and 7-1 for Anar Haven. We do have two non-runners here. Number 5, Focus More, and number 2, When in Doubt, Don't Go. So that leaves us with a field of 5, Andy. Who will come out on top?
Well, this seems to be between Witty Repartee and Zunduko, as the market suggests. I'd probably go with Andrew Oliver's filly, Witty Repartee, who ran in that race, was in the end won by Beat the Ballot the other night. Of course, we get a chance to see how the form pans out with Mezzogiorno. But it was a race that didn't really suit those horses that were ridden off the speed. I tipped a horse called Lady Rangers the other day down in Roscommon, suggesting that she didn't have the best of runs from the back of the field. She actually turned in last and ended up finishing mid-div. And she advertised the form with a win the other night. So I'm pretty much sticking to the same routine here and going for a horse that came off the pace, off a slowly run contest. And it might well be that he might have to row his own boat here tonight, Chrissy Haynes. But that wouldn't bother me whatsoever, because this horse obviously clearly stays really well on the basis of his last two or three starts. And maybe Zunduko is the only one, I think, who can keep up with Witty Repartee's overall profile, because that run the other day at Navan, albeit 10th, was a little bit of an unlucky one. Didn't get the best of runs in a strongly run race. Once again, a strongly run race the time before Curragh, over a mile and a quarter. And Edwin Lyman's filly certainly up to the standard of this race if you take on board those two runs. But Witty Repartee, I like that course run last time out, suggesting that she's about to strike sooner rather than later. And it looks a fairly weakish affair beyond Zunduko.
And the final race this evening is the 9 o'clock. We finish here with a maiden over a mile and a quarter. And Pordeur heads the market at 9 to 4. 4 to 1 for Botany Bay. 4 to 1 also for Salt House and Tory Pines. 13 to 2 for Dreamcraft. And the 14s are bigger for the others. Who decided within the lucky last?
Yeah, this is a really interesting race for me here. Hopefully all 8 runners go to post, because I suggest we can really steam into one here each way. Almost a bet for nothing, you'd suggest, for Charles O'Brien's Botany Bay, who's just had the 3 runs. He's got a mark of 77, and you would have thought that Charles might have gone down the old handicap route with his horse, but it might well be that it could be easier to win a maiden nowadays than it is winning a handicap, because they're always very competitive and there's always a few lurkers, where I don't think there's that many hidden secrets in this particular race, certainly not for Leopardstown standards anyway. And it was a real light-catching run on his seasonal reappearance. He seems to have grown and strengthened up since the last year when he was a bit weak and backward. And he put in a power-packed finish to finish an eye-catching fourth right from the back of the field. He was last turning in, but he ended up finishing within hailing distance of Outspoken, who was a ready winner on the day. Salthouse, who was ahead of him a couple of places in second. I'd expect this colt by Galileo to turn the form around with Jim Bolger's charge. The way he was finishing off his race certainly suggested that. And around about 5-1 this morning, I think Botany Bay is a really good each-way bet to conclude the card.
Really good each-way bet there for Andy then. Let's just have a quick summary, if you don't mind, Andy, spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if one of the newcomers took the first race. Certainly the percentages suggest that 6-1, but I'll go with Special Focus, who has got a little bit of form And obviously might put that to good use. In the 6:30, we'll also go with a horse who's got a bit of experience under its belt, and that's Fisherman's Blues. In the 7 o'clock, I'll take up Whip Up a Frenzy there, each way at 9-2, off the back of a good time the last day down in Nace. Tennessee Wildcat would be my interest in that 7:30 without the favourite. Obviously, my Titania is very much the one to the beat down the front end of the market. In the 8 o'clock, again, another each-way recommendation, where I suggest that Liffey View to outrun her odds around about the 8-1 mark this morning. 8:30, not a particularly good race. We've got two non-runners, but Witty Repartee certainly done enough in the last two or three starts to suggest that she could get off the mark over on the turf. And in the final race, hopefully all eight runners will go to post, because we've got a stonking each-way bet in the shape of Botany Bay.
Andy's thoughts at Leopardstown. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy the action this evening.
I will do. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.